What's going on, folks? Welcome into another episode of Believe in Commanders. It's your boy Anthony Armstrong, the original 1-3. And I got a special guest, former teammate of mine, former NFL draft pick, Arizona State Hall of Famer. I was watching the YouTube video on the Sun Devil website. I saw Mr. Derek Hagan himself. He's joining us. What's up, Derek? How are you?
What's going on, bro?
Man, it is good to see you. For the folks listening, Derek Hagan was a receiver with the Miami Dolphins. When I got to the Miami Dolphins in 2008, he was drafted there in 2006. I got to learn from Derek, watch him do his thing. He went on to have, 10? He played about 10 years total, right?
Nine years,
man. That's a hell of a career. So I got to give you your flowers. Congratulations to you for that. Thank you for joining us for the show. Because obviously, you know, there's somebody that you may have, seen practice or play a few games that has made his way to Washington. So we're going to talk about that, a little bit about Jaden Daniels, talk about this receiver position. But first, let me make sure we pay some bills, okay? So BetOnline, that's our number one source for all our sports betting needs this summer, D-Hague, okay? You got MLB, golf, NBA, and NFL playoffs going on as well. So my Mavericks, they won, and then the Dallas Stars, they won last night. So they're turning the tide in their series. You're going to have all the latest stats, news, scores available to you for your favorite teams, even out there in Arizona.
We can make some bets out here.
Yeah, you got it all right. So you,
it's all good.
Get your latest odds, lines, including the latest team matchups, props, and odds on just about every sport out there. I mean, they got esports. You see it, La Liga. They got soccer, WNBA. Got to be on there as well. Caitlin Clark is shooting her lights out up there in Indiana. But make sure you head on over to the website. Use your mobile device if you'd like. BetOnline.ag. It's where the game starts. All right,
I can hit on a parlay, man.
You can make your own parlay if you want to. I love Bet Online. They're fun to work with, and they always have futures, so you could always look ahead and talk about the draft. And the draft just passed, obviously, back in the end of April. And going way back, we got to turn back the way back machine to 2006. You were drafted in the third round to the Miami Dolphins.
A long time ago.
I was undrafted. I didn't have a draft experience. What was your draft experience like going through that, like the build up to it, draft day, getting the phone call? What was it like?
Man, you know what? Just thinking back, that was just a crazy process, just the whole, 2, 3, 4 months leading up to the draft. Because obviously, you get done playing college football around November-ish, somewhere around there, December, if you make a bowl game. And from there, you start training. You got the Senior Bowl, then you got the Combine, then you got, your pro days and all that. And it was just, those 2, 3 months was just a whirlwind with everything that was going on. But once draft day came around, it was, once you got drafted, it just felt relieved. It was a big day, for everybody. For myself, that's when the draft was just on Saturday. It was just a one-day thing. So you sitting there waiting all day. I'm thinking I'm going to be a first-round pick coming out that year. But, I go from first round to the third round. So, I think it came on at 8 o'clock a.m. West Coast time. And I don't think I got drafted until about 4 o'clock. Pacific. So it was a crazy, stressful, long day, but I'm glad that call came around. Third round pick to the Miami Dolphins, Nick Saban and his staff bringing me in, and had a great career after that.
Yeah, absolutely. That one day draft process, folks nowadays don't understand just how long you were sitting there watching names go across the screen.
That takes this long day, man. I'm talking about I'm having breakfast in the morning, eating pancakes, waffles, partying, thinking I'm going, within the next hour or so. But, noon comes around, I'm still eating chips, potatoes, 2 o'clock comes around, all right, let me get some barbecue, hamburgers in me, and still nothing. Turn my phone off, don't want to talk to anybody for a few hours. And, then finally they're like, man, turn your phone back on. They're getting ready they're trying to get a hold of my parents. And they finally get a hold of me. So it's like, all right, I'm about to get drafted. So
already. I'm glad you made it in there, man. And this past draft had a lot of dogs. I mean, it was a deep wide receiver draft. Four in the top 10. Malik Nabers and Roma Dunze and Marvin Harrison Jr. out of all those guys, and frankly, even more. Washington took Luke McCaffrey in the third. What receiver, what rookie receiver do you think is going to make the biggest impact this year?
I got to go. I thought Rome Odunze was hands down the best receiver in the draft. Yeah, you got Malik Nabers, you got Marvin Harrison Jr., but as a complete wide receiver, I thought it was Rome. You know, size, speed, skill set, the hands, the elusiveness. I just thought he had it all. And then also the competitiveness, because you watched him at the combine. He wanted to compete. You know, he wanted to get after in that three cone drill, trying to beat his own personal time because he was trying to hit a certain mark. So from that standpoint, I just think he was one of those can't miss prospects just because his competitive nature. Now, I know a little bit about him just because, you know, when I was coaching at Arizona State, we were recruiting him coming out of Las Vegas. Weren't able to get him. He ended up going to UW. But, you know, we had him as our top receiver on our recruiting board. So I think him being in Chicago, it's going to be lights out for him with, you know, with their new team up there. So they just got to get him involved and watch him go play.
Yeah, absolutely electric. Electric offense on paper, right? I mean, obviously, nobody's gotten to really play any real football together now. You mean bring in Caleb Williams, bring in Keenan Allen, add in Rome Odunze, and then you still got DJ Moore. Like, that's a crazy top three to just run out there. It's like, damn, how many passes can really go around?
Right, but you see that right there. He doesn't have to be the guy off top. You know, you got Keenan Allen, you got DJ Moore. So now he's got a veteran group, especially Keenan Allen, that he can lean on and truly understand and learn what it takes to be a pro.
Yeah.
Because it just – some guys just have a natural talent. Okay, they come in, they play good for a few games, but then they start to fall off. But now you got that veteran leadership that's going to show them, like, hey, this is how it's supposed to be done on a day-to-day basis. Like, it's supposed to be set up. Your routes better be crisp. They better be on point. If you're running that, you know, that 12, 13-yard curl route and you're supposed to be in that hole, you got to be there.
Yeah.
Don't think you're going to go to window two. You got to be in window one because that ball is coming out of the quarterback's hand. So you got to be ready for that. So he's got a bet to lean on and really show him that stuff.
Absolutely. And when you're talking to rookie quarterbacks, Caleb Williams is up there. There were six quarterbacks in the top 12 picks. That was probably – nobody had that happen that way, right? J.J. McCarthy going 12, Michael Penix going 8 to Atlanta. That was a surprise. The top three, we had those locked in, right? Jaden Daniels made his way to the Washington Commanders, and you spent a little bit of time in Arizona State with – was Jaden – Jaden was that was his freshman year, right?
Yeah, okay. Freshman year.
Awesome. So what did you see – in him then that did you project him being a second overall pick? Like, was he always having that type of talent and moxie about him? What made him so special at such a young age?
I think for us, it was just, he's just a difference maker. When we were recruiting him out of California, we knew he had all the tools to be who he is today. Now it was our job to be able to bring it out of him. And what you've seen him do his freshman year at Arizona State, he did it again his senior year at LSU, and that's the type of player that's elusive, that's dangerous with the ball in his hands, can get the ball out of his hands, he can make all the throws, and if you let him escape and get out of the pocket, watch out. And in our eyes, we knew, you know, back in 2018 when we were recruiting him that he could potentially win the Heisman. We thought he was that good because if you go back and look at his high school tape, it was unbelievable. Like, he could not be touched. He was one of the best quarterbacks coming out of Southern California. And I think, you know, our staff with, you know, Antonio Pierce and Rob Likens, who was the quarterback's coach at that time, did a hell of a job of recruiting him and getting him to come to Arizona State.
Nice. I mean, looking at his stats from that year, folks were thinking, well, what did he do his freshman year? Just had 60% completion percentage, 2,900 yards passing, 17 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. So the guy doesn't mess up. He had one season in Arizona State where he threw for 10 interceptions. But outside of that, he didn't even total 10 interceptions his whole entire career. So the guy makes a lot of good decisions with the football. What do you think is going to separate him at the next level? You know, I mean, obviously he's had an upward trajectory. He's won the Heisman, continued to improve as a player. What's going to set him apart up there in Washington?
Well, I think just where he's at right now, he's in the perfect situation, the perfect fit with Cliff Kingsbury at the offense coordinator position. You know, this guy is Kingsbury is known for his his spread offenses, and he needs that type of quarterback, that mobile quarterback that can move around and also get the ball out of his hands. Because when you got a quarterback in the backfield that can take off and run, the defense has to account for him. You know, now you can't be that sitting duck type of quarterback that's just going to sit there in the pocket and the defense is just going to, you know, pretty much put pressure on you because you know you can't move. But now they got to count for Jaden. Like, if Jaden sees a hole, he's gone. And for me, I think with his speed, it's going to be tough to catch him. Now, obviously, he has to get used to sliding. That's one thing in NFL. You better slide, because if you don't slide, somebody's going to knock your block off. So he's going to have his chances, but he has to pick and choose when he's going to take off and run, because, like I said, it's a 17-game season. You can't take that many hits as you did at LSU.
Yeah, and that's one thing that is in the back of Commanders fans' minds. They go back to RG3, right? I mean, your second overall pick, highly touted quarterback coming off of a Heisman year, even though at that point they had to trade a buttload of picks to get up there to get to number two. You bring it in, and that's the one thing to talk about, Jaden's frame, and he's too thin and things of that nature. I think he's a better quarterback. Hell, RG3 thinks that Jaden is a better quarterback than he was coming out of college. I think the guy makes better decisions with the football. I mean, you can see statistically, he does a great job handling the football. You mentioned the veteran receivers in Chicago. And then we mentioned, and Washington has some too, Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. And hell, you playing too. What is your experience being a veteran receiver working with a younger quarterback? Right. How do you make that relationship work? Right. Rome and Caleb already knew each other. They've been texting before the draft.
Right.
Now you got Jaden coming in there working with a pro like Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, Zach Ertz. How do you get those vets to welcome this young guy and get him up to speed?
Well, they just better tell me you better get in here. It's it's go time now. This is not college football. This is professional football. You get paid to do a job and you get paid to win. So at the end of the day, we all want to win. And you can't go out there and lay an egg week in and week out, because you only get so many chances. And being in a division like he's in, an NFC East, that is no cupcake division. You're dealing with Philly, you're dealing with Dallas, and you know, there's teams that are coming after you. So he's got to show up each and every day prepared, and he's got that attribute. Now he's just got to really start to see the game, learn the playbook. Cliff Kingsbury has to put him in the right situation, and he's got to go out there and see it. But it starts with him. Getting with those guys in the offseason like now is when you start that process and that work leading up to September.
Yeah. Everything I've read that about Jaden has just been all – humility and understanding. He's like, hey, I'm just a rookie. I got to still get up to speed. I still have to learn this offense. I still need to gain people's trust. He's not coming in there saying I'm the guy and y'all better get up to my speed. He understands where he's coming from. And sure, yes, we can all assume that he's going to be the starter coming into this season. But I like to see that my rookie understands I am not the big dog on campus right now.
Oh, no doubt, man. Jaden's a humble dude, man. He's laid back, but he understands how to work. You know, he's not going to talk much. He'll talk much on the field to his teammates, to his players. Yeah. But outside of that, he knows it's all football. This is something you work for. He's been working for this moment since he was a little kid, and now it's there. You know, now you're damn near the face of the franchise, being the number two overall pick. It's a lot is expected of you, and you're not in a small media market. Yeah. you're right in the thick of things. So it's obviously the Commander's been dying to win. You know, it's been a long time. It's been a while. Like, been since you guys really had a proven commodity out there in the field. So now it's put up or shut up. But it's not, like I said, it's not going to be easy in that division. Obviously, bringing in a new head coach and Dan Quinn, who I think was a hell of a hire for you guys. Unbelievable on the defensive side of the ball. And I think you got a great offensive mind in Kingsbury to both of those guys to work hand in hand with each other.
Yeah, a lot of other head coaches, former head coaches hired as well on this coaching staff. Probably, I feel like experience-wise, you got to have more overall head coaching years out of the other coaches like Anthony Lynn and you know, just these other names who have been up there before, and now they're going back down to play in and not play, but coaching positions that they're more used to, like defensive coordinator, position coach, things of that nature. Let me ask you this question. We're talking about current ball, okay? I want to ask you, who are your top two current wide receivers? It can be 1A, 1B. Just who are your top two right now?
Oh, man. Come on. We got to go. You know, a lot of people have been – I don't know why they've been disrespecting Davante Adams the last few seasons, but that's number one for sure. Yeah. Like, how you just going to forget about this guy just because he's playing in Vegas? Like, for real, you haven't seen the numbers he's still putting up with everything that was going on over there. And, number two, I think I got to go with the young boy, Justin Jefferson. Like, out the gate.
Devontae's been doing it for a long time. I just think that the fact he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers, so it's not as exciting. He still had, 1,100 yards and 8 touchdowns last year. But with
he had over about 1,500 yards. So,
yeah, he's still leading. Let me see. I'm pulling up here. Yeah, 1,100 last year, 1,500 the year before, 1,500 in Green Bay. The guy can run routes. The guy is savvy. He can get open. That's
what it's about, right? Getting open. You have to get open in the league. It's if you and I were standing right next to each other and I was a couple inches in front of you, I'm wide open in the league. Because the quarterback's got to be able to put the ball right on us. We know that. You know, if we hit the top of our break, we get out of that break, that ball has to be coming.
Bingo.
You can't sit there and hold on to it. They got to anticipate us being in that window. And a guy like Devontae is a guy that can run routes and understands how to use his leverage and when to get open. So
yeah, create that separation. Create that separation to make it easy for your young quarterback. And Justin Jefferson, you mentioned him. He is a problem. They do a really good job of scheming him to get the ball. I wouldn't necessarily say scheme him open, but they find a way to put him in the preparable position to get the rock. So I like what they do with Justin Jefferson. What about your top two receivers of all time? And mind you, I'm being joined by Derek Hagan, former NFL receiver, Arizona State great, a legend down there for the Sun Devils. Who are your top two favorite receivers of all time?
All time, man. You taking it back. Well, hands off, I wore number 80. You know, in honor of the great Jerry Rice. That, okay. No, come on now. Ain't
already. Already. Got Jerry up there.
Hands, speed, if you want to say speed, routes, did it all. What did he play? About 20 seasons? Yeah. Unbelievable career. Like,
man.
Long time. 40 years old, still going for what, 1,000 yards? I ain't getting 1,000 yards in a season. He's 40 years old getting 1,000-yard season. So,
bro, I saw him a clip of him coming back. Like, here's Jerry Rice at 40-some years old. I said, I'm at 41 right now. I don't want to run no routes.
Right?
Exactly. Jerry out there got pads on, helmet, toe-tapping it all. I'm like, nah, I'm
doing it all.
I am good. And, I am good on that.
Number two, I got to go with T.O. I know T.O. very well. You can't – that size, speed, competitiveness, confidence in himself, man. He was fortunate enough to play with Jerry at the same time. You got a vet and you got a young receiver. You see what happened. You know what I mean? Even though he was learning from the vet, but he took his career and his work ethic to a whole nother level just being around somebody like that to really understand what it takes to be a pro. Yeah. And putting his own stamp on it and taking it to a new level.
I love it. I love it. Speaking of being a pro, I'm going to go back to these rookie receivers. What is the number one thing that you feel a player going from college to the league or really any position to the league, what's the biggest thing that they have to handle when they transition to the league, right? What's the biggest, like you talk about the speed or the size of the players. What is it to you that helps a wide receiver get up to speed faster?
I mean, for one, it's the mental aspect of the game because there's so many great players in the league and you got to understand what is going on, especially once you get in the building. If you don't know the playbook, you gone.
Quickly.
you might get one play in training camp. You mess that play up, that's all you get. You might not see another rep. So it's the mental side and really understanding how to be a pro and learning that playbook because that's where it starts at. You don't know what you're doing, you're not going to be on the field. Man. And that's happened to so many guys. I've seen it. Like I said, I was fortunate enough to play, with yourself in 9 years, but that's where it starts at. You don't know what you're doing, you're not going to be on the field, and you're not going to make the team. And that's going to be the fastest way for you to get up out of whatever team you're on, and you might not get another shot.
Man, you ain't lying. Look, just a story for y'all listening. I shared the field or the locker room, I should say. I was on practice squad in Miami when Derek was on the field in 08. And remember, they used to bring in like 5 or 6 players at a position every week.
Yeah, I think it was like every Tuesday they bring somebody.
Every Tuesday they bring in 5 or 6 new, let's say, safeties. And they work them out. And then they would sign one and they put him on the field. And then he'd be gone in 2 weeks. It was one of those things that was my first league experience, especially during the regular season. I was like, this ain't like everybody get a rep type thing. Like, one rep, if you mess it up, I'm sorry, we gotta let you go. And that's how it happens up there in the league sometimes. So if you're an undrafted guy like me, I had a very short leash. Very short leash.
And I mean, I thought I had a short leash too, even on the third round draft. I still had a short leash because it was like, you know, if you weren't doing what you needed to do, you knew somebody was going to pass you up. Something was going to happen. They was going to make a change sometime once they went to meeting rooms. So you got to be on your A game daily, because if you're not, they're always looking where they can get better at. You know, if you're too old, they trying to replace you. If you're too young, you're not doing the right thing, they're going to replace you. It's just how it goes.
Man, you say that. I remember seeing in the office, one of the office personnel rooms, floor to ceiling dry erase board with every team and about 5 to 6 players on those rosters that they knew if that guy becomes available, we're probably going to get rid of somebody to go get him. It blew my mind to see it. Really brought things into perspective when I was up there. Just to know, you got to take advantage of your opportunities when you get.
Yeah, you do. And you better play on special teams, because if you're not, if you're not the number one or number two receiver, you better be playing on special teams for sure.
Yes, you better learn how to be a gunner, a cover, a kickoff. If you ain't tackled nobody in 5, 6 years, you better brush up, because it's time to get back out there tackling. Man, D. Haig, I appreciate you joining me. Where can everybody follow you, or what are you into nowadays that people can reach out and connect to you?
Nowadays, man, I mean, I'm out here in the real estate game. So, you know, if you're looking, buying or selling, or just want some information about the investment side on real estate, you know, be sure to hit me up. You can catch me on Instagram at DHaigan80, Twitter DHaigan80, or on my real estate website, DerekHaiganAZ.com.
Yeah, he's out there in Arizona, y'all. He's out there in the desert. So if any of y'all Commanders fans are out that way, link up with D. Haig, man.
Plenty of sunshine out here. You know, nothing but. Come on out here to Arizona. Enjoy these 75, 80-degree temps right now.
Oh, yeah, sounds good. I know it's going to be ridiculous here come August and July, so that we don't have to worry about triple-digit weather.
Yeah, we'll have that. That's coming.
Yeah, that's coming up soon. That is coming up soon. How's your golf game, too?
Oh, man, it's on point. You know, we got about, what, a little over 300 golf courses out here in Arizona. So I'm out here at least once or twice a week on the course. So
I am jealous.
Got a little time. I am
jealous on that one, man. I am not on the course that often, but I would surely absolutely love to be. But I'll tell you this much, where you can catch me. You can catch me over there at betonline.ag. That's where I put all my bets down. All right. I go hang around, see what's going on with the Commanders. You can already talk about future wins, right? If you think you're going to get more than 6.5, that's what the line is over there at betonline.ag. Use our code Believe, get a 50% welcome bonus. Check us out at Believe Commanders on social media platforms, IG, TikTok, Twitter, and YouTube. And mind you, also do this. Check us out on all your favorite streaming platforms. And check out our other Believe Network shows. We got college ball, pro football, and NBA. It's out there all on this Believe Network. So, hey, for Derek Hagan, I'm Anthony Armstrong. D. Haig, I appreciate you taking the time. It means a lot for you to do this with me. You got it, man. Hey, y'all be good, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode of Believe in Commanders.